The Gemara Masechta Becharis Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, in attempting to explain the machloikus of Rav Tarf and Rav Akiva. The machloikus of Rav Tarf and Rav Akiva was in a situation where an animal had two babies. One is a Bechor and one is not. We don't know which one is the Bechor. And one of those babies died. And now there's a question. Is the surviving animal the Bechor and therefore belongs to the Kohen? Or is the surviving animal the not Bechor and belongs to its owner? So Rav Tarfon said, Yachloiku. And Rabbi Kiva said, we employ the concept of Hamotzi Mechavera Olav Haraya, and that animal remains with the owner of the animals until the Kohen can definitively prove that this animal that survives is a Bechor. And the Gemara attempts to explain what is the circumstance that they're arguing. Because as the Gemara says, if the animal is not in the hand of the owners, then everybody would agree that Yachloiku is the proper way to go. If the animal is in the hand of the owner, then everybody would agree Hamoisi Mechavera Olav Haraya. So what is the case of dispute? So the Gemara says that the case of the dispute is where the animal is in the property of the owner. However, the owner had given permission to the Kohen to take care of the animal in his property. And the Gemara employs here a new concept that when the owner gave the Kohen permission to use and raise this animal in his property, how far did the Kohen, did the owner go? Because there's a concept of nichalei l'inish plus avalei mitzvah memoinei. A person is prepared to allow, he's happy to allow his property to be used for a mitzvah. So Rav Tarfon says, given that that is the halacha, that is the concept that we follow in halacha, what that means to say, says Rav Tarfon, that they share in the property. And therefore they both have equal claim, and therefore the halacha ought to be yachloiku. Whereas Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that he doesn't give up that much. And therefore we use the concept of Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Haraya. But one thing is clear in our Gemara, that there is indeed a concept of Nichlei L'inish plus Avalei Mitzvah M'moyne. And this is a concept which is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch Aruchayim, Simen Yodalid Hilchasitzah Sif Dalid. The Shulchan Aruch talks about the following situation. I come to shul, I don't have a talis, but there's a talis of someone else in the shul. May I take that individual's talis? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Mutal Lital Talis Chaveroi, I may take the talis of someone else, Ulevarach Aleha, and make a brach on it, as long as I'm careful that when I finish using the talis, I fold it in Matzim Kapelis, I fold it like I found it. And as the Mishnah Brewer immediately explains, the reason this is permitted is because we employ the concept that we just learned in the Gemara. Nichle le'inish to le'eved mitzvah m'mayne. I'm satisfied to have my property, property should be used for a mitzvah. But the Mishnah Brewer says, this can only be relied on a temporary basis. To come to shul every day without a talis and say, well, I'll use a talis of someone else, that isn't permissible. Furthermore, I have to keep it in the shul or in the place I found it. I can't remove it and take it elsewhere. And moreover, says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Prima Gadim, two important points. That if I know that the person who owns this talus does not want anyone else using the talus, that I may not use the talus. And if he's there, I should ask him, I shouldn't rely on this nichalel inish if I have the opportunity to ask. The Mishnah Berurah also says, quoting the Magen Avraham, that given there's a question on the bracha here, as in this Siman Shulchan Aruch, there's a discussion, do you make a bracha on talus shula? Do you not make a bracha on talus shula? So the best thing is, have in mind not to take ownership of this talus, and therefore you won't have to have a question of a bracha. And as we read, the Shulchan Aruch says, but when I finish using it, if I found it folded, I have to refold it. And however, says the Mishnah Berurah on Shabbos, we know there's an issue of folding a talus. So don't fold it the way you found it on Shabbos. And the Magen Avraham says, don't fold it at all. Says the Ramah further, for who are them at tefillin? The same halacha applies by tefillin. But then the Ramah says, Aval also limay misfarim shel chaveri. I may not learn from someone else's sfarim belidatoi without their permission. The chashinah shem yikras abel mudai. If I'm going to wear someone else's talus, nothing is going to happen if I borrow it. But if I borrow somebody's sefer, I may tear it. And therefore, I need permission. And as the Mishnah Berurah says, there, even if it's going to be one time, I should not use it. And the Mishnah Berurah, in fact, says that apparently it used to be quite common. The shuls didn't have their own sidur machsayrim. So what used to happen in the shuls was that people would pick up somebody else's sidur or machsir. And the Mishnah Berurah says, I don't know from where people feel comfortable in doing that, given that we just learned that when it comes to a sefer, I have no permission, I may never use it without explicit permission. There are many halachas that the Paiskim discuss around this halacha. The Paiskim, the Kaf HaChaim, says here in Sifkot and Dalet, in discussing this halacha, Yerushimayim Yerchek Atzman Mikol Ma'ada Efsha. A Yerushimayim should avoid relying on these Hateirim as much as possible. And there are many reasons why the Paiskim explain how we have to limit the use of this heter. First of all, as we read, the Mishnah Berurah said that we can only rely on this heter bakroi when it doesn't happen regularly. And it's not quite sure what does not regularly mean. The Eish Avraham says it means not more than once every 30 days. Another important issue is when we speak about this halacha, and we'll speak about this concept more in our shir, that we could rely on the het of nichle le'inish l'sever le'b'mitzvah m'mayne. I could use somebody else's property in order that I should be able to fulfill a mitzvah. Do we say that even when it's not a mitzvah that I'm really mechuyev to do? Number one, tzitzis talus is not a mitzvah that I'm obligated to do. It seems the fact that the Shulchan Aruch chose to teach us this halacha by the case of talus and tzitzis, it seems that the Shulchan Aruch is clearly indicating that this concept applies even in a situation of tzitzis and talus, mitzvahs that I'm not obligated to do. But on the other hand, an argument can be made that maybe the Shulchan Aruch here is referring to a situation where I already have tzitzis on, where I don't have tzitzis on. So this is the only way, by borrowing someone else's tzitzis without his knowledge, that I could fulfill the mitzvah. But perhaps in a situation where I have tzitzis on, so I'm ready to be mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis, maybe under those circumstances, I would not be allowed to borrow someone else's talis without permission. And then there's another factor to take into consideration. And that is, in those days, people were not as sensitive to other people wearing their clothing. Whereas, Bizman Hazeh, people are a little more sensitive regarding other people wearing their clothing. And perhaps under those circumstances, we can't deploy the concept of Nichalei L'Inish. The Tzitz Eliezer, in Shalos HaTshuva Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Yud Beis, Simen Zion, indeed discusses this question. The way he discusses this question is that Tzitz Eliezer was the Rav of Shaarei Tzedek Hospital. And the question comes up, somebody left his talis in the shul in the hospital, and now somebody walks in wanting to wear a talis. May this, he's a patient in the hospital, he wants to put on a talis, can you use somebody else's talis? So he takes a very strong position on this. And he says, certainly, even healthy people nowadays, as we said a moment ago, are much more sensitive about other people wearing their garments, kissing their tzitzis, with their saliva touching the tzitzis, etc. Certainly in a situation where there's that the person who's putting on the my talis is someone who's not well, it's not so poshut, he says, it's certainly not clear that you should be allowed to wear it, even based on the halacha that we're just quoting. And he quotes the Shaarei Tshuva in Shaar HaShlishi Ois Samach, where the Shaarei Tshuva says, "Ubachecha b'nei Yisrael, ish be'ochiv lo'yisirda be'befarav, lo'yishtavet adam b'chaveri, v'mei mosei aleim o'yishem bushim l'hachad dvara." If I'm going to be embarrassed to say something to you, so I shouldn't ask you, I shouldn't even ask you if I know you're going to be embarrassed to say yes when you don't really mean it. So here he says, not only may you not take that person's talis, if the person who's taking the talis is not well, but maybe you shouldn't even be allowed to ask, because the owner of the talis may be embarrassed to say no, even though he really wants to say no. And then he adds another important factor, particularly when it comes to tefillin, and he brings a raya to it. He says that it could be that the reason the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, are lenient is because in those days, talis and tefillin were not expensive. And because they weren't expensive, the person says to himself, if the other person will wear my talis and tefillin and it really bothers me, I'll just get another talis and tefillin. They weren't that expensive. But nowadays, where obviously talis and tefillin, particularly tefillin, are quite expensive, we cannot rely on this heter, and we can't allow the other person to wear it without permission, and maybe even not under all circumstances should permission be asked for.